Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. My name is Mike. That's Allie. That's Bo. Dylon is behind the man standing in front of us at this point. That is the 92.9 The Game Hawks insider, Caleb Johnson. And he walks in here wearing a Dale Earnhardt Jr. Coca-Cola number one race car shirt. The polar bear on the front, man. What a classic time to be alive.
That's called knowing your audience.
Yeah. I was just about to say, just for you guys. No. I love old Nate NASCAR t-shirts, especially like 90s and early 2000s. That feels like the classic era where it's good quality.
Right.
The screen printing, every time I wash it, it's not gonna go away. And it's always really fun drivers and really fun cars, too. I think that's part of it.
Recognizable sponsors, everything else. I told him when he walked in, I was like, I feel like every time I see you, I'm like, hey, man, nice shirt. Golly, where'd you get that racing shirt?
He's our Ryan Blaney. He's got the vintage NASCAR gear.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Probably a Whiskey Myers fan as well.
But how cute is it, though, that you wore the Dale Earnhardt shirt today for Mike and Bo, and Mike wore the Hawks shirt
I was like, yeah, it's Hawks Day, strapping this thing on. And I told him I was jealous. I was like, you know, Hawks, I can actually buy Hawks stuff in tall sizes, so I can't buy most NASCAR stuff in tall sizes. So here we are. All right, so let's talk about the trade that happened yesterday. And I want to get – this is how I want to approach it. I was at a Mexican restaurant, and I looked down at my phone, and I see the CBS Sports push notification, and I read Kristaps Porzingis, and then I didn't even get to the Hawks part, and I was like a fleeting, just peripheral vision. I was like, wait a minute. Did I say the Hawks? Where were you at? What was the feeling? What's the first emotion you felt when you looked down and saw that Kristaps Porzingis was coming to Atlanta?
Well, Mike, I was sitting in the parking lot while my wife was in TJ Maxx, and I was on the phone. On the phone with Chris Thomas because I was mid-interview, and I was telling Dylan that I see the Shams report go, and as any good journalist would do, you don't just because one journalist. Guy has it, you don't just go and say it. So I texted someone who I thought could give me some insight.
Wait. You had to double check a Shams tweet? Just you were like, as any good reporter would do, let me double check Shams Charania.
Listen, this is the difference between Big J journalism, Mike, and the rest of everyone out there.
That's incredible.
I knew when Shams put it out there that it was right. And so I wanted to send a text just to make sure, because I was literally on the air. It was a little different than just hitting a retweet button.
Right, yeah.
And you can back out of that versus I was on the air talking to Chris. And it
not
was
exactly
like
a Reddit post.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to send a tweet out, apologizing to the fans out there for misinformation. But no, it was one of those. It was surprising to some extent. But this had been rumored for actually the last couple of days. There was a little bit of time. Mark Stein was one of those who had kind of been on the mix on this. Jake Fisher had kind of been all over that the potential for Kristaps Porzingis to get moved was very likely, and then that the Hawks were very much interested. Look, the thing that I will say when it comes to Porzingis, and I'm sure you guys probably talked about this as well, the injury front of this is going to be that's going to be the risk. Is a guy who has not played 65 games, I think, in the past 8 seasons.
Only played twice in his career more than 65, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those. He's been averaging in the 50s, essentially. But I think if you look for what the Atlanta Hawks want to do as far as add shooting, add size, he does all of those things. And I think what you had to give up, not a ton.
Right.
Terrence Mann's contract was something that the Hawks wanted to get out from underneath. I knew that as soon as the season ended, just because what you saw in the court was the numbers look good, but he just like doesn't really fit what this team wants to do. And then George Niang, he's just a veteran that easy to move. And so I think you didn't have to give up a ton moving that 22nd overall pick and those couple of guys to get the potential Hawks fans want this team to go all in and improve and get better, and I think they did that by taking a chance on Kristaps Porzingis.
Look, I'm looking at Caleb Johnson joining us in the studio. He's our Atlanta Hawks insider for here for 99 The Game. I look at this trade and adding Porzingis, and with where Trey's at next year, this is an expiring contract, and I immediately think this is our new GM saying, we're going to try to make this work, and if not, we're gonna try something completely different, but we still have a young core with Johnson and Ricochet, and I'm assuming that they would get Dyson re-signed. Is that how you see this, or is it? You think this is them trying to continue to keep Trey happy?
I think this very likely is that type of scenario. Now, I will say this: I do think Trey Young is in the long-term plans for this organization. I know that's something like that Ansi Salah said, and GMs can say anything, quite honestly, especially pre-draft. Like, they're just trying to bring positivity to the team, essentially. But that was the most definitive answer that we've heard about Trae Young. And if they sign Trae to an extension, it's not like it's going to be super difficult to trade him. I think that would actually, especially if they're able to get him under market value, which is where I think they're pushing really hard. And I think them trading for a Porzingis is part of looking at Trae and going, hey, maybe don't make us sign you to the max so we can have more money, so we can make moves like this. I think that's all a part of it. And getting, yeah, seeing what you get out of Porzingis, if he's healthy, then maybe you can talk extension after that. But you're not locked into guys where when you look at this new CBA, everybody keeps talking about it, and these aprons and everything that kind of restricts teams. That's why the Celtics sold. It's because they want to get out from underneath, and they did. The second apron, you want to have... isn't this a phrase we love? Financial flexibility.
Yeah.
Now you're talking Atlanta sports when you say that, especially with one team.
I was going to say, I love when you talk about a billionaire's pockets and we talk about financial flexibility. Like, yeah, man.
Corporation like the Braves. That's their term.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to shift a little bit to the NBA draft. It's happening tonight. I was asking you off air, you know, are you going to be there? And you said, yeah, you're going to be at State Farm. But what does your night kind of look like minute to minute? Are you just like live tweeting nonstop? What's happening?
Honestly, my job's pretty casual because I am just taking in the draft from whatever setup that we have media wise. Normally it's at the practice facility. This year it's at the arena. And then once the pick happens, and usually, some people get tipped off a little bit early of kind of having a heads up of where this thing will go, and we'll see at 13 if that's where the Hawks end up staying. If they end up not trading up or trading down, then the pick will happen. They'll bring in the player. We'll have a few moments to be able to kind of catch up with him. We'll also have a press conference on Friday, but it feels like everything up until the pick happens is usually pretty slow. And then after that, it's like, okay, now we can get going and kind of move forward with the trajectory. Because there's a lot of different options of where this Hawks team can go at 13. And so it's really difficult. Like, anybody who says they've kind of nailed this thing down of where the Hawks are going to go, absolutely wrong. Because I think it is wide open of where they can kind of pick from. And then you get to, once the pick happens, now we will understand a little bit more about GM Ansi Salah, who I got to talk to on Monday. Really cool guy. Like, I hate to be like this, but Landry Fields was kind of a nerd and wasn't the most...
friend of the morning shift. Yeah, former friend of the morning shift, Landry Fields.
Yeah, no, really, like, nice guy, but just as far as when his interviews ended, he was walking away. That was the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
In fact, the last time we spoke to him, he made us wait 2 hours from the time that we talked to Quinn Snyder until we were able to talk to him.
Wow.
And so I was not exactly super thrilled. And then Ansi comes in. He's super fun. He's actually throwing out buzzwords that we're giving him a hard time about. And after his press conference ends, he sticks around and individually in kind of like little small groups, we talk to him.
Chops it up.
Nice.
Yeah, and we get to know him and kind of get to rib him and give him a hard time about, he used the word optionality about 1,000 times.
at least it wasn't ethos.
Exactly. Well, and he shot down Hawks DNA. He said, I don't use terms like that. I was like,
but optionality,
okay,
though.
I like this guy, yeah.
First off, you're wrong, because every GM gets exactly the player that they've always targeted in every draft.
Number one on the board.
So come on now. All right, let's go to Auntie Sala. What is his DNA, so to speak? Like, what does he want in a team? Like, you know, when Schlenk came here, we knew what formula he was going with. I don't think we ever knew what Landry Fields' formula was, but does Auntie have one? Or have you figured that out yet? Have you had to talk to him about that?
Yeah, so I think this is when we'll actually learn it. What we've been told, and this is the GM speak to some extent, is he said he's going to go best player available. And I know, like, it's kind of that's what everyone says, because it gives you the fallback of being able to say, well, we saw this guy as being best player available. He just happens to fit in our team. I think he said best player available for the simple fact of there are a couple of guys like Carter Bryant, Colin Murray-Boyles, who don't necessarily fit, quote-unquote, the needs of this Hawks team because they're a wing or a forward when you think, well, the Hawks need a big. Even though you brought in Kristaps Porzingis, you still need a big to develop in the future and a point guard, honestly, to back up Trae Young because you've got Kobe Bufkin, but this is year three and we still haven't seen this guy be healthy. And so I think there's a lot of Hawks fans who are like, I mean, do I even want him to kind of still be around? And so I think it gives him the option of going best player available and addressing best player for this team instead of needs necessarily. And then there's a guy like Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown who is a big. He's only 6'8", but he's got a super wide wingspan, so he can still block shots and be a big in the middle. He just doesn't fit the traditional NBA, and that's actually something that Auntie said as well, is that he's not worried about traditional bigs, even though he just then, you know, this week traded for a guy who's 7'1", blocks a lot of shots.
I love that. Hey, and by the way, before we finish up with Caleb, we're gonna take some calls on the other side of the break. 404-726-0929. I want to hear you guys' reaction to the Kristaps Porzingis trade. Last question before we let you go, and appreciate you hanging out in studio with us, Nikhil Alexander Walker. Before we even get to the basketball thing, just explain it like I'm five. This statement came across: full non-taxpayer mid-level exception. Like that's a mouthful, man.
Paul. Yeah. Oh man, I'm too immature to not laugh at that.
Sorry.
But I'll say this: when it comes to all of the exceptions, it's essentially you don't get taxed, or that contract would not count against the tax. You have trade exceptions that come because, like, you traded away DeJounte Murray, you get money back and that sort of thing. We had one with John Collins for years.
Yep.
It helps you spend money without it counting against you and you going into the luxury tax or into the first or second apron. And so for a team like the Hawks who are underneath the luxury tax, they have more benefits of money that they can spend. Now, they haven't really used it in the past. They've used part of their trade exceptions, but a lot of the times they've kind of left this stuff on the table, and fans have rightfully so been frustrated of, well, why aren't we spending
right
money to bring in better talent?
Count me in that group.
Yeah, I think it's
count
tough.
All of us.
I think it's also tough too, and this is no way a diss to Tony Ressler, but it is just a simple fact of, like, a couple weeks ago, a list came out of the top five richest businessmen in the state of Georgia. And Tony Ressler is number one.
I saw
one
that list.
At
I was like, what
billion
in God
dollars?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, I think Arthur Blank was like number three on the list. Yeah, so
Come on, man.
I think Hawks fans rightfully so are like, hey, can you spend some money, please, sir?
It's a gift card, Mike.
Right.
And the Hawks let a gift card expire.
Right. When
John
you return something and they give you a gift card to the store because you were outside the 60
days. No. Somebody just bought you a gift card. And you're like, here's $200 gift card. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to let it expire.
Man. We have got to wrap up. Appreciate you, Caleb, for hanging out with us. Have fun tonight with the Hawks fans at the Hawks draft party. And hopefully we get some good news. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls on the other side of the break. 404-726-0929. You want to weigh in on the Kristaps Porzingis trade. We also got a Life of Squid coming up.
Imagine telling your boss it's too cold to go to work. Yeah, I know, right? Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Mike, Alley, Dylon, Squid Billy. It's our buddy by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Live reaction all morning because it is draft day. Just had Caleb Johnson in studio breaking down that and the Kristaps Porzingis trade for the Atlanta Hawks. I'm excited. Very little downside. I feel like, but I've challenged people all day to say, what is the downside? Oh, $30 million. Okay, it's the NBA, dude. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes $30 million. So we're going to open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. Got a little bit of time before Life of Squid to get to a couple of callers. And let's go ahead and start that out. Let's go ahead and head out to Covington and talk to our buddy Anthony. What's going on, buddy? Hope you're having a good day.
Mike, what day is it?
It's Monday. Hey. That a boy. Oh, now we're talking.
Man. Hey, man. All right. So, breaking news last night. I was actually listening to Turtle, and all of a sudden the news broke. It was pretty cool. Porzingis coming to Atlanta. I know everybody's going to talk about the $30 million, the injury history, and things like that. Let's talk about the good things, right? So, a little bit of numbers for you, right? If Kristaps Porzingis plays 29 minutes in a game, he averages 20 points, 7 rebounds. But here's the kicker. He is also shooting 41% from three-point range. That is a seven-footer who can stretch the floor, which opens up that lane for Trae Young to get inside, slice, dice, and also Jalen Johnson get kicked out and slam it on the inside. Mm. This is a great starting move for the Hawks. I love it. Very little downside, like you said. All right, we know the injury history. It's you got to risk it for the biscuit. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
So now what we got to do, we got to build up that. We got to build up the bench depth. Right?
Yeah.
Get that bench depth. Make sure we're good to go there. Take the best player available tonight. Let's keep this thing rolling. This is the first of many moves for the all season for the Hawks.
Let's go,
Andy. Love you guys. I hope you all have a great Wednesday.
I love the vibes. And you know, he kind of echoes something I said yesterday, Bo. I immediately got a text from our buddy Bing. And he's like, don't like it. Have you seen Porzingis play lately? He's always injured. And I said, okay, cool. What can you tell me about Terrence Mann? And this is a guy who's, you know, just not a Hawks fan, an NBA fan. What do you think about Terrence Mann? Well, not much. What can you tell me about George Niang? Oh, you know, shoots the three, bigger butt. Okay, then end the conversation there because that's what we just sent away to get Kristaps Porzingis in. And the fact that we actually have a guy who has all-star level capabilities is it's a good thing. I don't care how anybody tries to frame it.
You sent bench players away, and I love Niang, for like that. Remember like on like Super Mario Brothers, you'd have the question mark. You wouldn't know what it was in it. Because that's what the 22nd pick was.
That, yeah.
You don't know what was in it. You don't know what it's going to be. The 22nd pick in the NBA draft is the equivalent to the to your fourth round pick in the NFL.
Yeah,
might be a starter.
That's a good. That's a good call.
You don't know.
Yeah, mid round pick in the NFL.
And Anthony just literally kind of reiterated some of the things I said. Yeah, 41% from three. Bing's not wrong. Porzingis is not on the court a lot lately. He's played 65 or more games twice in a 9-year career.
Yeah.
And he's missed 65 games, ironically enough, the last two seasons. However, he wasn't injured last year. He had a sickness. And yeah. He claims he's over that sickness. So, again, it's like I talked with Caleb. To me, this is it work? Because I don't agree with Caleb that he says that they're committed to Trae Young years going forward. I think it's this year, and we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the owner, and everything he's told you, he's not willing to pay into the luxury tax unless he thinks you can win a title. And I don't think he's going to pay $50 or $60 million a year for a player that only gets you to the play-in round by himself.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's take at least one more call. I got a Life of Squid to get to, but let's talk to Leo over in Flowery Branch. Leo, what's going on, man? How's the vibes?
Hey, man, the vibe's good, man. I think we got to be somewhat hopeful, a little bit cautiously pessimistic. Only for this, and I'm going to say this because Caleb did something a couple weeks ago that kind of drew my eyebrow. He had made a comment about Porzingis having a four initial illness, and I don't know if that ever got clarified, but it was very strange to hear him say that a couple weeks ago. Is there any other detail on that about Porzingis? I thought that was strange.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Leo. I don't have any other details myself, and Caleb obviously was here just a minute ago. He's not. I'll be sure to try to check with him. But
I'm not going to get into somebody's medical history.
Right.
It was an illness that, you know, there's all kinds of things out there. Some people, I'm not saying it was this, but some people took them months to get over the long COVID, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people have there was a thing out a while back called the super flu. It could have been any of those things. It wasn't disclosed. But he had literally, I think, said 2 days ago or 3 days ago, sometime very recent, that he's 100% recovered. That's what I've been saying. It wasn't an injury last season. It was an illness.
Yeah.
And he is healthy now from that illness. So that is something to be optimistic about with the move.
Yeah, as long as it's not anything long term. You know, right? And I know that long COVID, whatever, you know, whatever it may be, but I think the antennas kind of perk up, like he said, kind of eyebrows lift when you hear, you know, illness. It doesn't seem to be anything that could be career altering at this point, right? I mean, so I think that's kind of where we sit, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's healed from it, whatever it is, but it was something along those lines that just, you know, it hits you and it keeps you out for a while. And when you're living on the road in the NBA and you get something like that, sometimes it can. I know we think these guys are specimens, but you know, people that look like they can enter a fitness contest can, you know, they can get sick too. I mean, it doesn't keep you from getting sick from things, you know. But anyway, so he seems to be healthy now, so it's a good question. Pack some of the Baron Burton's W sauce already for the race this weekend at Echo Park Speedway, the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. I got some of that going to the RV, the camper that Campers Inn is going to provide us. I put a six pack of the Allen Lager. I don't know where Chaz is at. He's MIA right now. I'm going to have to get after him. But I had a six or two that I was going to put in the bag for that. So we're ready to go. Look, I'm not a big fan of this guy. He runs his mouth a whole lot, and it's incredible the guy never stops talking. His name is Deontay Johnson. He played wide receiver last year for multiple teams. Started off with the Panthers.
Yep.
And then by the time the season was done, he was on his third team, which was the Texans. But it was when he was in Pittsburgh that really this story comes from. He went on with a guy that I've hung out with, had a beer with, Stephen Garcia, played at South Carolina. Really cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
I actually like the dude a lot. He's a little bit of a wild card. He'll say anything, do anything. Remember, it was all the rumors that they played in the SEC Championship game before. He might have been in a hotel room with
I don't know this rumor, but
there's a rumor that he was in a hotel room with some co-eds and some booze, and he might have had a good time.
What a time to be alive that must have been.
Stephen Garcia, I hung out with him at SEC Media Days, and man, dude, we threw a few back. He's a great dude. But anyways, he's on his podcast, and he was like, look, he's telling this story, and he goes, I wasn't getting in no run plays, no passing plays or nothing. It was cold. End of the third, going into the fourth, they're like, Tay, we need you. I was like, nah, I don't think it's a good idea for me. Like, my legs are already ice cold, and I didn't want to go out there and put bad stuff on film. It's not like I didn't want to go into the game, but leading up to this point, I had been through so much. I told them I'm not finna go in so I can just sat on the bench, and that's when they suspended me. So Deontay Johnson, and I just read that verbatim. I tried to read it, you know, I wanted to get his words perfectly out there to not ad lib or throw anything in or out. Basically, it was really cold. He didn't want to go in because he hadn't been used all game, and so he just said no and quit on his teammates, essentially. Now, they weren't his teammates for very long because he hadn't been in Pittsburgh for very long, and he wasn't in Pittsburgh for very long. I just can't think of joining a team and being paid and saying, I want to play, but on my own terms.
I can't fathom for the life of me how this guy keeps getting jobs if that's the, if that's what's being said about him around the NFL. I mean, you mentioned how many teams he's been on. Usually one moment like that and like that spreads like wildfire and every single other team's like, ah, no thanks. Yeah, we're good on that.
Yeah.
I don't need that situation. Yeah, frustrating anyways. Nice work. Obviously, Deontay Johnson with some of the crazy things he said. Kenny Pickett, he says, the starter for the Browns right now and everything else going on. So cool to keep track of. Hey, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have former Braves outfielder, now Braves studio analyst for FanDuel Sports Network and Gray TV, Mr. Charlie Culberson, joining us to talk about the craziness around what has been the 2025 Atlanta Braves. Stick with us here on The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's The Morning Shift at 8:41 with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan behind the glass. And we are welcoming in former Atlanta Braves outfielder and now Braves studio analyst for FanDuel Sports Network and Gray TV. We are fresh off a Braves win 7-4 over the Mets, so it's perfectly timed. Charlie Culberson, welcome into the show, Charlie. We appreciate the time. But I do have to ask, because you're barely off that field. You're in that new role with FanDuel. I'm curious how that transition has been, if you're finding it difficult to kind of comment on the guys that you are playing with.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yes, a little bit. A lot of the guys I've played with and against. But I tell you what, I enjoy my time playing all those years, and I don't honestly miss actually playing baseball anymore, which is great, I feel like, for me and my family. But it's a lot of fun to be able to watch the game. And I try to have an honest opinion, but I just realized that baseball is still a very hard sport to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get to what's going on this season, but real quick, I know you're a hometown kid. I actually went to college with your sister over at Kennesaw State. What was it like coming home and playing in Atlanta in front of the hometown crowd? And then, you know, you and Dansby both were hometown guys, and you had the same hair and beard.
Yeah. Yeah, he had the same hair as I did, so I'll give him some heck about that. No, it was great. I never even imagined to have been able to put on a Braves uniform and then to have been traded from the Dodgers back home was pretty surreal. It was a little tough at first to kind of get rolling with my career in Atlanta, but it was a blast to be able to have family, friends come, and then just to have the parts of 4 years there playing for the Braves, something I'll never forget.
You mentioned the fact that you don't miss playing per se. Do you ever just put yourselves in the shoes of those guys and just kind of mentally go through it when they're at bat and you're like, man, I'd be expecting slider here. There's no doubt about it. And then they throw the slider, the guy doesn't get a hit, and you're like, oh, come on, man. I even saw that from where I'm sitting.
It's a lot easier to be able to watch and critique from a desk or from your living room watching on TV. You just forget how hard it is. To play and the guys, the pitchers are getting better every single year. So many guys are throwing harder. It's a really tough game. But yeah, it's easy to say that, to be able to say, man, yeah, why didn't you hit that pitch? Or as a fastball right down the middle, oh, it's 99 miles an hour on the black, or a slider at 92. It's a hard game.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because I still do one-on-one pass rush in my head. I grit my teeth and my hands, my chest gets all tense, and I'm like, punch him in the chest. Then I'm like, oh, it's really not that simple. The guy weighs like 330. You know?
Yeah, if you don't know, Mike played offensive line for a little bit at Alabama and here for the Falcons, but we are joined by Charlie Culberson, FanDuel Sports, former Atlanta Brave and Dodger. Hey, speaking of how hard it is, Michael Harris and Ozzie to a lesser extent, but Michael Harris is really struggling at the plate. I mean, you just talked about how, you know, we forget how hard it is to do, but what do you do to get back to the basics when it seems like everything you're doing at the plate just isn't working? Like, what does Michael Harris got to do to get this thing on track at the plate?
I'll tell you what, he is so valuable as a player, as a defender in center field, one of the best in all of baseball. But honestly, I think sometimes giving a guy a day off, hey, come to the park, don't pick up a bat, mentally kind of check out, allow him to like have his full day off, because sometimes a day off, even at a young age, he's still 24 years old, like that sometimes can be the best, because if not, they're grinding every day, trying to find it mentally, physically, something in the box, an approach. He knows that he's not doing what he would like to do. It's been a couple years now for him, but he's so good in the outfield, it's hard to keep him out of the lineup. But I think a good just mental break, a good day off, other than the team day off, can be the best thing for him.
Well, and this season, everyone has been grinding it out. And because you do know that clubhouse inside and out, you know, last week we swept the Mets at Truist. Then we lost 2 of 3 against the Marlins. Now we've got 2 back-to-back wins against the Mets up in New York. Can you make this make sense? And what's going on with these guys behind the scenes?
I mean, these guys are every day. They're putting in the work. They're trying. They're going out there trying to play their best baseball together collectively. But, you know, when you're at home playing against a New York Mets team, you get up for those games. You have the crowd behind you. Then you go to Miami. It's like you're maybe a little deflated, a little tired from that previous series of sweeping the Mets. Going down to Miami sometimes is like a vacation. It's a little different. You don't have as many fans. And then the Miami Marlins, you know, not the best team in baseball, but they are a scrappy team. And sometimes those scrappy teams will grind it out and win a series. And now they're back in New York playing at Citi Field with a packed stadium. Like, all that has a lot to do with what happens on the field. Your senses are heightened a little bit more. You know that it's one of the better teams in baseball. That's just baseball. That's 162 games for you.
Hanging out with Charlie Culberson, obviously former Brave and now doing it in the media. So appreciate you hanging out with us here on the morning shift. You mentioned, you know, it's not as easy as it looks on TV and from your couch when you're watching it. One guy that is making it look relatively simple right now is Ronald Acuña Jr. When I watch football players, I look at their characteristics, right? What makes them great? You know, is it hip bend? Is it knee bend? Is it explosion? Different things like that. Ronald Acuña Jr., what can you point to in terms of just his overall traits that he physically has that allows him to do the things he's doing at the plate right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's had it since day one. I remember my first spring training with the Braves, and Ronald was out there at 19 years old, and I went back to our condo, and I told my wife, Sarah, I said, there's this kid that I've never seen anyone swing like him. He was hitting balls like 450 feet to right center field, and it's funny, he doesn't, like, load his hips too much. He doesn't cock his bat back too much, like, you know, the mechanical things that usually a lot of guys do. He's just so explosive. The things that he does on the field, all around, there's only probably a handful of guys that can do that. And then his swagger, I mean, the way he carries himself, not too many guys can wear all this colorful shin guards and elbow guards and be able to dance and throw the bomb and cover your ears and gritty across home plate. Like, all those intangibles, there's a real reason why. If you're able to do that, it's because you're obviously that good. But he just has it. And right now you could say the best player in baseball since he got back from the injury list. And he'll always be one of the best players in baseball. If he's on the field and healthy, like, there's so many things that he can do that you just sit there and scratch your head like, how? You can try your best your whole life, but sometimes you have it or you don't.
Charlie Culberson joining us. Charlie, when you get a guy like that back, I mean, how does that just make you feel, especially when you're struggling? You know, you're struggling the clubhouse at the time, and then you get a guy that good back. What kind of infusion does that put inside the clubhouse?
Well, I mean, now you have a guy at the top of the order who's an MVP, who's now healthy. You're kind of waiting to see, you know, is he fully healthy? Well, yes, he is. He's back to old Ronald. It takes a little pressure off everyone else because there's times when there's holes in the lineup, guys aren't doing as well. You feel like as a player, I have to maybe do a little bit more. But when everyone is feeling good, things are good, right? If everyone's hitting, if I'm at the bottom of the order, I don't have to do as much. I just have to do my part. Easier said than done, but that just, you're putting an MVP back in the leadoff spot. You're getting him an extra bat. He's playing every day now. And so now you're able to just kind of watch the best, do what they do. And if I'm one of the, you know, other guys down in the order or on the bench, I don't have to feel like I need to do as much. So it's a huge boost. He's hitting 400. He's going to help propel this team to keep them in the race, but they still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, hanging out with former Braves outfitter Charlie Culberson. And Charlie, unfortunately, one of the conversations that's been had around this team has been about leadership in the locker room. I can't think of a better person to answer that than you, and I'm sure you know those guys. You know the characteristics. Baseball locker room is a unique spot. What have you made about some of the questions, it seems like, about the leadership for the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that lead by example, just by showing up every day, putting in the work. Some guys just aren't as vocal. And I don't feel like the Braves have too many vocal leaders. One leader would be Chris Sale. I never had a chance to play with Chris, played against him some. You know, another guy I think of is Marcell Ozuna. I really enjoyed my time playing with Marcell as a teammate, seeing him work. He's open to talking to everybody. He's always trying to do better, be better. And he helped me out, too, and I feel like I was able to be there for him because he was open to talking to everybody. And I really enjoyed that because, you know, sometimes guys get in these pockets of you, I guess you could say, friend groups and kind of stay a little secluded. Marcell was a guy I feel like that kind of kept everyone together. He's been a very good player for the Atlanta Braves and kind of like, in my eyes, somewhat of the glue for the team. But yeah, there's just, you know, got playing with Nick Markakis. Nick was a lead by example guy. He was a man of few words, but he showed up every single day. And sometimes that can be the best leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that's some great stuff on Marcell Ozuna, Charlie Culberson joining us. And I think that a lot of people think that Mark, you know, I love that you brought up Markakis, another Georgia guy.
Oh, I was going to say another guy with good hair and beard.
But I get Nick Markakis vibes from Matt Olson. And am I wrong on that? Or,
you know, I think that's pretty good. Matt, Austin, you can see, you know, videos of them together, working out, doing things together. Ozzie and Acuna kind of work out together pregame and postgame. So there's guys that have like their partner, I guess you could say, to kind of go through the season together with. Matt is a lead by example guy. I feel like Matt's not as vocal. But as you see, Matt plays every single day, and there's something to that. For a guy that doesn't play every day or a guy that might have a chance to start here and there, it's pretty spectacular, honestly, to be able to see a guy play 600-plus games in a row, never complains, goes out there, shows up, ready to do his job every single day. So that lead by example speaks volumes to the person and player that he is.
Got a couple minutes left with Charlie Culberson, former Atlanta Braves outfielder, hanging out with us here on the morning shift. And you mentioned guys that play every day. I guess one of the questions I'm going to have, in just over a week from now, Jerickson Profar is eligible to return to this lineup. As a teammate, and I realize he hasn't been in Atlanta long, as a teammate, what do you believe the reaction is inside that locker room when a guy like him gets suspended for 80 games, he comes back, he can't help you in the playoffs, but you obviously need his bat right now, you need his presence, but, you know, he's a guy that hasn't been around for 80 games because of something that he did.
Yeah, that's a tough one, honestly. I don't know the full story. I'm not sure if anyone really does. It's tough to see a guy sign a big contract, take a spot from somebody else, come in, fail a drug test, miss half the season, and then when he comes back, you know, they're looking forward to having him back in the lineup, but then that's one person that has to leave the roster. And so that's somebody's spot for somebody that ultimately hurt the team going into the season from a mistake that he made, I don't know if willingly or what have you, but I don't know Profar personally. He seems like a great guy from his smile, charisma on the field, but that's a really tough call for me because it's, like you said, he can't play in the postseason if they get there, and he's taking somebody's spot. So that's a hard one for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard one for Braves fans as well as they welcome him back in just over a week. Charlie, man, we appreciate it. Good stuff, and thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That's Charlie Culberson, former Braves outfielder, now with the FanDuel Sports Network, doing good stuff. So
yeah, I met him when he was like a high school kid.
Is that right?
Back in the day.
He's from Rome?
Yeah.
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 Have you been to Rome?
I told him. I went to college with his sister. I don't think she liked me, though.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to go a different direction with that. We have to go.
We do have to go. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're getting kicked out. So for Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
And remember to
stay cool, Atlanta. There you go.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.